In the middle of the Holocaust, in the midst of the terrors of Nazi Germany, Christ made a difference for today's special guest. We'll hear her story next. Stay with us.
Such was the speed of the Allied advance that the guards were taken before they had time to flee. Inside Belsen, the same story, starvation and sickness. Liberated prisoners could not control their emotions. Clear-cut evidence of beatings and outright murder was on every hand. Sanitary conditions were so appalling that heavy equipment had to be brought in to speed the work of cleaning up.
It was just 2 months later that I was also drafted into forced labor, and I was blessed to be working with my mother in the same place. We worked 10 hours a day, very, very heavy labor, and it was very, very difficult. The women were put into a filthy old cow barn. It was very out in a deserted village. There were about 150 of us women in a cow barn that was never cleaned up, that was just covered with a thick layer of straw. The toilet facility was a ditch.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan's guest today, Anita Dittmann. Anita's story is captured in the book and documentary Trapped in Hitler's Hell. That is the subject of today's discussion. You can find both the book and DVD video in our online bookstore. We'll tell you more about these products a bit later in the broadcast. Now our host for the hour, here's Jan Markell.
And welcome to the program. And, you know, many years ago now, my path crossed with Holocaust survivor Anita Dittmann. I wrote her book for Tyndale House and came out in the early 1980s. It later went into other publishers, including Lighthouse Trails and most recently WorldNet Daily or WND.com, updated it and produced a 75-minute documentary on her life. And we carry those products here at Olive Tree Ministries. I'll say more about that later. Every year or two, I invite Anita into the studio to share her uplifting story, and she will do so this entire hour. Anita, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. I feel very honored that I can be with you again.
Let's begin going back to the early days, and there was a ballet that is very important to you, and we opened the book talking about the ballet.
I was about, not quite 7 years old when my ballet teacher said, you can dance with the big girls now, and we were dancing solo. And I was excited. We practiced. And when I got on stage, I was amazed at the huge audience that were all focusing on me. And the music began. I danced, and it was great. I just felt like I was floating. And I was amazed at the overwhelming applause that I got. My teacher backstage praised me for how excellent I danced. And that night I fell asleep blissfully and dreamed happy dreams. In fact, I had my ballet slippers under my pillow. But the next morning my mother came in and she read from a paper the large review, the whole front page. They are stating every dancer. And when they came to mine, they said the dance was superbly performed by young Anita Dittmann, far above her age level. But the German people are no longer willing to be entertained by a Jew. And in addition, my father had left us early in Hitler's government, and we lived in poverty. There was no more money for ballet lessons. And right there, I lost a beautiful dream.
You were going to come to faith in Christ about age 7. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, it was actually a few months after the ballet fell apart. And I came to realize, you know, my ballet teacher always said, you know, people will literally worship you. But on that day, it was an Easter morning, I was 7 years old, and Christ came into my life. I had gone to church with my friends, even though my mother wasn't a churchy person, but she let me go with my friends. But that morning was special. In a most unique way, Christ came into my life, and I came to realize right there that I was not to live to be worshipped. Like my teacher would say, I was to worship Christ, and he walked with me, and he's still walking with me. But when I came home, my mother and my sister gave me a very cold reception. They just brushed it aside as a childish fantasy.
Somebody very important was going to come into your life, and we document him. We talk about him all throughout the book. Amazingly, he survived the Holocaust, Pastor Ernst Hornig. And I believe he was a part of the Lutheran Confession Church. Confessional
Yes, he was.
Church. Just talk to us briefly about
him. And he was already on the blacklist for it. But one fine day, he came to visit us, and he introduced himself. And I had already met Christ before, but he said, you know, I heard about you. I have a lot of Jewish people that have come to our Bible study in our church. I'm not forcing you. I'll give each one of you a Bible, and I leave it up to you. We would be happy to see you. And so we tried. My mother said, well, we can give it a try. And it was so amazing. After a few months of his preaching and teaching, my mother became a Christian. It was so wonderful for me because for the first time, she did not look at my conversion as a childish fantasy. My sister never went that way, but she pretended on the surface. And Pastor Hornig one day also told us that he had gotten in touch with an organization that would help us to get to England and get visas and everything. And sure enough, in July of 1939, my sister's visa arrived. And we were told by our organization that ours are on the way, but unfortunately that never happened because the war started. My sister left on the 31st of August, and it's the last train that ever passed the borders.
And you and your mother were trapped in Hitler's
hell. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why the name of the book.
Okay, so eventually now, very soon, you're going to be, along with your mother, you're going to be drafted into some forced labor. Talk to us about that.
Okay, my mother went there first. And when I was 15, I was permanently suspended from school. And I was told because of my Jewish mother, I'm no longer allowed to come to school. And it was just 2 months later that I was also drafted into forced labor. And I was blessed to be working with my mother in the same place. We worked 10 hours a day, very, very heavy labor. And it was very difficult for us. But we thank God that we were still at home and relatively free. But that freedom did not last long because one fine day, January 7th, 1944, the Nazis came and they picked up my mother and I was left alone.
How did you feel when that happened?
I was devastated. I was devastated that they took her. But I was grateful that Christ had come into her life and that someday, and I know I was allowed at least to ride in a police wagon with my mother, with the guards. And but when I said goodbye to her in the door, in front of the door of the old synagogue, the only one that wasn't burned in 1938, at least I knew she was saved.
Actually, you and your friends were going to sneak into the somehow.
That was the following evening, yes.
Yeah, you were going to sneak in and bring her a bathrobe. And
a pink bathrobe,
some
yes.
other things that you wanted her to have before she went off to the camp.
Yes, right. Yeah. That's correct.
And did you get that to her?
It got to her through somebody else.
But this was going to begin about 7 months for you. You were going to be on your own.
Yes.
But it was going to be an incredible time of God providing sort of one miracle after another.
And the greatest miracle was that I still was working, doing forced labor, had very little money, couldn't buy food on the black market. And yet I said to the Lord, I've got to keep my mother alive. They were allowed to receive food packages in Theresienstadt in Czechoslovakia. And so I parted with much of my food and I prayed and I said, Lord, I need you to keep me strong. And he did. I mean, I was literally living on practically next to nothing. And yet I never lost an ounce of weight. I remained strong. I had enough energy. And at one time during those 7 months that I was alone, I had a strange notion not to send my mother the dark German rye bread that I usually enclose because it's so nourishing. I always say it was solid like a rock. You could almost sit on it. That one morning, I got up and I said, I'm going to the bake shop and I'm going to get Zweiback, which is toast. And I'm going to send that to my mother instead. And 2 weeks later, I got a card from her. And she said, I was praying every night by on the, next to my cot, asking the Lord to help you to send me Zweibach instead of the dark bread, because she was stricken with dysentery and couldn't eat the dark bread. And I thought, wow, what a fantastic miracle.
If you join me late, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I am Jan Markell. I have in the studio today Anita Dittman. She is the subject of my book that was written in the late 1970s by Tyndale House. And back then it was called Angels in the Camp. Today it's titled Trapped in Hitler's Cell. Okay, talk to us just a little bit more about the bread. What happened?
Well, I had already gotten my notification that by mail that I had to be in standing in line early in the morning to be shipped off into an unknown destination with I don't know how many others. But I had time to go to the grocery store, get a dark bread, real dark bread. And I took a knife. I stuck a knife in there, wrote a note to my mother, tell her not to worry. I have to go away for a little while, but someday we'll be together again. And I rolled it up, stuck it deep into that loaf of bread. And I wrapped it up, and I called an Aryan friend of mine to come over and pick up the bread to mail it the next day, because I couldn't. I was going to go to camp. And she did come, and I prayed. I said, Lord, protect this loaf of bread from falling into the hands of a Nazi guard, because they often stole food out of the packages that we sent. Because if they would have found that note, they might have killed her. And God protected that. And I didn't find that out until 11 months later, that for the very first time, that bread had arrived totally covered into a thick layer of fresh green mold so that the Nazis wouldn't touch it. Yet she was so hungry, she had overcome the after effects of the dysentery, and she scraped it all off and started slicing the bread, and that's how she found the note.
She found the note.
I said, God is so fantastic, how he even shows his miracles in a loaf of bread.
So you were going to go off to kind of a hard labor camp.
Very hard.
Yeah. So how did you feel when this happened? I mean, obviously apprehension, and obviously now you can't communicate with your mother. But
that's why I sent that loaf
of
bread.
Yeah, I know, but did anxiety overwhelm you? Or, again, were you just calling on the name of the Lord for peace?
I did. Yes, of course. I knew, and I didn't know what it was all about. But I somehow, all the while that I was alone, I sensed that my time was cut short. And that's why I kept sending mother food all the time. But, well, there were about 300 others like myself, and we were shipped off to an unknown destination. And when we finally came to our destination, the women were, it was a different kind of camp. It didn't have barbed wires around us or brick walls, but tremendous. I mean, we had lots and lots of Nazi guards. There were about 350 of us. The women were put into a filthy old cow barn. It was way out in a deserted village. There were about 150 of us women in a cow barn that was never cleaned up, that was just covered with a thick layer of straw. The toilet facility was a ditch with some boards put over it so we could sit on it at least, but no walls, no privacy, nothing. The washing facilities was one faucet on the outside of the barn of cold water. But the authorities issued us enamel pans that we had shared with 9 other people, so 10 people to a pan. And the men lived under similar circumstances, not too far from us. There were 3 married couples in the camp. They couldn't live together, but could at least work together.
Now, some others were Christians, correct? Because those who were Christians, you did gather around together and encourage one another.
We were all people there who had one Jewish parent and one Aryan parent, but they weren't all believers. Mm-hmm. There were very few, and how we found out, we were digging ditches, and we were told that we should be so proud of ourselves that we can serve the Führer. Well, we dug ditches for about 8 or 10 hours a day. The ditches were about 7 or 8 feet deep, at least 10-15 feet wide, because they were going to be used as tank traps in case the Russians would come into the country, although Hitler was always saying, we're winning. after that, we got watched home. We stood in line for our measly, watery hot ration, and they all fit into a little enamel pot. And then we were given a piece of bread that was supposed to last till the next morning for breakfast. But we were not allowed to speak to each other when we were digging. But those of us that were Christians couldn't keep our mouths shut. And quietly, when the guards weren't looking, we would talk about Christ. So we had a little band of female believers, of course, because we couldn't associate with the guys after work. And we still had our Bibles, and we sat there, and people left us alone. Some of them might have snickered, but most of them left us alone. And it was wonderful. We tried to rehearse Bible verses. We prayed for each other. It was very strengthening.
How many? A dozen? How many were a part of this?
Oh, at the most 10.
And you had heard something about Auschwitz. What was that?
Oh, yeah. Short before Christmas, we learned that if as soon as our labor was completed, because we were now working in the forest, cutting trees, and I'm not going into detail what we were doing because it's all in the book. We were told that we're going to go to Auschwitz. So no matter how many headlights crawled on our heads, how cold we were because we were working outside in the woods nonstop in ice cold weather, poorly dressed, we didn't care about it. We just thank God for every moment that we were still not in Auschwitz.
So Auschwitz meant then that you were going to go into the ovens.
Yes.
That was a guarantee.
It was a last-ditch effort of Hitler to do away with anybody that had any ounce of Jewish blood in their veins.
Okay. Well, some tremendously, I don't know if I want to say, let's just say encouraging things are about to happen. Now, there's still more trauma coming, big time.
Yeah.
But God is going to continue to show himself a miracle worker. Folks, this is not a downer story, particularly the last half as God continues to come through in the most remarkable ways. And we're going to continue this in the next segment as well. So we have a lot more to talk about in our next couple of segments. Again, Olive Tree Ministries carries the book Trapped in Hitler's Hell, A Young Jewish Girl Discovers the Messiah's Faithfulness in the Midst of the Holocaust, both book and 75-minute documentary. Visit our store at olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint. Give us a call or get on our print newsletter list for the full information. Please don't go away and don't touch your dial. I'm coming back in exactly 2 minutes and we'll continue with my discussion with Holocaust survivor Anita Dittman.
Remember, you can get Anita's story in book or DVD form from our bookstore online when you visit olivetreeviews.org. Just click on the store tab. Again, find us at olivetreeviews.org. Or you can order either or both of Anita's products at 763-559-4444. Again, the number, 763-559-4444. Mail orders are accepted at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. In just a moment, we'll return with more from Anita Dittman.
Stood there that very morning, it was about the end of April, and I said, Lord, I have no crutch, I have no cane, I have nothing. Hold me, guide me, tell me what I must do. And I was not supposed to be walking normal for a year, and yet I walked within a week. And I really had to lean on the Lord. And he sent me on a very long and a very treacherous journey. And it said, you know, one time that I read that safety is not the absence of danger, but the presence of God. And I can testify to that because I went on a really, really difficult journey.
We'll be right back.
On October 4th, we had our 18th Understanding the Times event since 2002. It was a unique day because we are in unique times. Our speakers hit on many topics, including ISIS and where Islam might be heading in the end times, with Pastor Jack Hibbs.
I believe it's approaching its demise because there's no way that you can look at Islamic doctrine and see that the Antichrist can be in power with Islamic doctrine. He may use it. I believe Satan is using it. What we read in the Bible about the Antichrist rising, his agenda is completely diametrically opposed to that of the jihadist or Islam.
Dr. Ed Heinzen reminded us the signs of the times are exploding.
The pieces of the puzzle are coming together. Israel is back in the land. Rumors of war in the Middle East and the European Union already exists. The global economy already exists.
Stephen Curry from Jerusalem encouraged and challenged us to stand strong in our faith.
They picked me up and shoved me into this trash can. Blood coming down my face. Beaten on this trash can. They spray paint. Look at this Christian. May he be an example. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to say that anybody, the disciples, converts, this is their outcome. But you know, today, I have those seven men to thank for the men I am today. Was it for that beating, I would not be standing before you preaching the gospel to hundreds and thousands around the world. It wasn't for that beating, I would not be here standing up for Jesus Christ.
And I reminded people that America cannot abuse Israel and remain a strong, prosperous nation.
You wonder why we have Ebola entering into America. We have beheadings entering into America. We have a southern border with unspeakable things crossing our southern border. You cannot violate Genesis 12:3 and get away with it.
Order CDs and DVDs online at olivetreeviews.org or by phone at 763-559-4444 or by mail, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. The DVDs are $35. The CDs are $25 plus shipping. Call 763-559-4444 and order today.
Today, when much of what we need to hear is questionable from a biblical viewpoint, we need to have resources that define our day according to the Bible. With so much at stake in the world, we need to understand God's perspective about the current events in our day. At Olive Tree Ministries, we go to great lengths to place in our online store the most trusted Christian authors. Authors like Erwin Lutzer, David Reagan, Ron Rhodes, and Ed Heinzen. These men write and produce DVD teachings about current events, apologetics, and eschatology that define our times and provide solid biblical content to help you keep informed. Our goal is to provide you and your family with materials that will build your faith, help you contend for the faith, and understand our times. As we look forward to the holidays, these resources make great gifts, so check out our online bookstore at olivetreeviews.org and then click on the store tab. Don't just conform, but be transformed by being informed. Our web address again is olivetreeviews.org or call us at 763-559-4444. The gospel has been slowly changed into a social agenda, and the cross has become an afterthought. Jan Markell thinks this is backwards, and every week she is telling the truth about the deception in our culture and in many churches. Please join us for Understanding the Times Radio, where the inconvenient truth is heard every week here on this station.
And from then on, she literally took it upon herself to kill me, because there was a medal for every Nazi that would kill a Jew.
Back in the late 1970s, Jan Markell wrote a book about Anita Dittmann's life. That publication has now been updated. A video documentary based on the book was made in 2014. On today's Understanding the Times, Jan Markell is talking with Holocaust survivor Anita Dittmann about being trapped in Hitler's hell. Once again, here is Jan Markell.
And welcome back. Again, talking to Holocaust survivor Anita Dittmann, subject of the new book and film, Trapped in Hitler's Hell. We've been talking about it. We'll say more about the products a little bit later. Quick reminder, you can get a CD of any favorite program, including this one, if you want to pass it on to friends. This program is posted to my website every Saturday if you want to re-listen that way. Please sign up for my print and e-newsletter so I can keep in touch with you. Anita Dittmann, something, well, obviously, in the book, we spend a fair amount of time talking about your ultimate escape from this camp. Talk to us.
Yeah, it was a very, very cold winter day, and something strange happened on the way home before we escaped, the night before. We saw the villager running from their villages with a horse and buggy, and I mean, it was unbelievable, and we didn't know what was happening. We had heard roaring in the air and feeling vibrations under us. We knew the Russians were coming close.
Coming close,
and the villagers told us, they said, they're probably going to be here tomorrow. So that night, we didn't know what was going to happen, especially as we were told that the Russians are coming close. That night, the authorities locked up the women's camp so tight, nobody could escape. So five of us that had grown very close through Christ, we prayed. And we prayed that if it was God's will, that he would help us to get out, to help us to escape our persecutors. And we knew it would take a mighty miracle. Mm. And he performed the next morning. We were awakened up in the crack of dawn. All the women were told to take our knapsacks and stand outside. And there were two huge wagons with drawn by horses, pulled by horses, and they were chauffeured by Polish prisoners of war that worked as slaves on German farms. I was just grateful that I didn't have to walk, because several weeks prior, through marching on icy roads with wooden shoes, with wooden soles and rough tops, I had rubbed a blister on my right heel, and that had become infected. And I knew I had a blood poisoning because my lymph gland started swelling and my foot had swollen and was discolored. And I just prayed that the Lord will help me to keep on. So I was grateful that we were going by horse and buggy. Well, finally, after a very cold drive, we were followed by two guards on bicycles that biked and fell and biked and fell because the roads were slippery. Finally, we saw in the kind of crack of dawn, we could see outlines of barracks, and that were surrounded by barbed wire fences that were electrically loaded. And the gates had swung open, and we were driving in finally, and it was still kind of dark outside. Well, there were five of us that had prayed for a miracle, and we were still praying. All of a sudden, the guards told us to step off the wagons, and I almost screamed because I landed on my bad leg. And he said, they told us that there were no keys to get in and no lamps. And are there any volunteers that would drive to the nearest factory that owned that concentration camp, barracks? Would they go? And my friend and I said right away, we will go. And in the meantime, while the guards are still conferring, having their backs turned to the people that were standing there, the other three girls escaped to a deep forest, and they were not seen. Then my friend and I climbed on that wagon, and we were starting to go for the lamps and the key. But in reality, we saw an opportunity to escape. So as we were going, the guards were busy with the people putting them into the barracks. We were whisked off.
The Polish driver had to cooperate with
you. Oh, yeah. He will.
Yes.
He did.
Amazing.
He did. We gave him $10. I had $10, and my friend had some cigarettes that we had been given that she didn't use. We gave it to him and said, hurry, 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 get us to the railroad station. And he smiled, and he went up, and he whisked the horses. He whipped them, and they just flew. And finally, we got to the railroad station. She said goodbye to our angels in disguise and prayed for him that God would protect him. And then we met the other girls at the same time. And there we stood outside, and we saw a train that was pulling flatbeds that were loaded with tanks.
Russian tanks.
We didn't know that first. They were military tanks. And we didn't know what that was. And we knew that the Russians were getting close, and we were concerned about that too. So the girl said, you know, why don't you talk to that soldier there? You look the most Aryan. I had blonde hair. I looked like my father's side of the family. So I walked over there, and this nice, handsome soldier smiled at me, and he said, can I help you? And I said, yes. What is this? And he said, what are these tanks? Well, he said, they're Russian tanks that were slightly demolished and were pulling them to near Berlin to be repaired. So that, and I said, can we hitch a ride with you? And he said, I have to ask my CO. And he did, and the CO said, it's okay. So he helped us into the tanks, and then he and the other soldier came in, and the whistle blew, and off we went.
Okay, Anita, so where did you end up finally?
We finally ended up in Bautzen, a city in Saxony, which is kind of southern Germany. And there we stayed overnight, just the three of us. The other girls went other places. We stayed in the house of the in-laws of one of my fellow escapees. And there I stayed, and the blood poisoning.
Yep, you were hurting big time.
Oh, it was terrible. Not only that, the fever, it rose to 104. And I was, my two friends pulled me on a kitty cart over cobblestone covered streets to the nearest hospital. And all hospitals were governed by Nazis. Mm. A nurse received me. And she greeted me with Heil Hitler, and she babbled on, and her swastika pin that she belonged to the Nazi party stared it into my face, but I kept my mouth shut. I couldn't tell anything. She tried to cut off my stocking because it was so swollen. My leg was so swollen, and I said goodbye to my friends. And then she found a bed for me, and she put me in a typical hospital Dior fashion. Then told me that it was difficult to always get a doctor right away. I should be patient, and she will do what she can.
And she didn't really know you were Jewish.
I think she thought
you were a German.
An Aryan. Because I looked like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, if you join me late, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm talking to Anita Dittmann. I wrote Anita's book originally back in the late 1970s. Okay, so she didn't know you were Jewish, but you were going to be waiting for some surgeries because things were really getting tense.
Yes. Finally, I was there for 10 days, and my wound were wrapped in some strange solution that was supposed to help the infection, to draw the infection out. Finally, a young woman doctor came, and she saw this, and she was just horrified. She said, "We have to operate right now." And the anesthesia was ether. Oh, they told me they would drill holes on the outside on my instep to open so the pus can come out. And when I woke up from the anesthesia, still on the operating table, when they were wrapping my leg, I heard the nurse saying to the doctor, "My, did that little girl ever talk a lot?" And I knew what I must have said. I must have revealed who I am.
That you have a Jewish heritage.
Yes. And from then on, she literally took it upon herself to kill me because there was a medal for every Nazi that would kill a Jew.
So here you've survived all of this so far because we're all the way up to 1945. You've survived much of the Holocaust, this forced labor growing with your mother way back in some years before, and now you're facing a Nazi nurse who wants to kill you.
Yes, and because it was so easy for her, because there were unsanitary conditions, she permitted those, and open wounds, and as a result, the infection did not clear up. And because of that, I had to go through four serious surgeries. And the fourth surgery, it was so bad because the pus had gone into my thigh. And so they cut. This was the third surgery. They cut a hole into my upper thigh, and there was an open wound, and then, of course, she had more of an opportunity. But anyway, it was a miracle that I didn't lose my leg.
Yeah,
I came very close to
it. But you didn't.
I didn't, no. I still carry grotesque and ugly scars on the inside of my leg. But you know, my mother used to say to me, "Consider them your beauty marks."
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're in a transition because the Russians are coming again. You know, we think they're the liberators, but they're not the nicest guys. What happens?
Well, this was war. The Russians were coming to town to drive out the Germans out of the city. And as they were doing that, we were all down in the air raid shelters, men, women in a big, huge room, and the Russians came in and they started to rape. And when they saw me, they dragged me off my cot, threw me on a mattress on the floor, and were going to help themselves to me. They ripped off my clothes, but when they saw that blood-stained bandage, they thought maybe I was faking. So a young student nurse came and unwrapped the bandage. And the pus just squirted out like a geyser, and I grossed them out so bad they took off.
Well, and you had said to some of your friends, because they said, "Anita, how can God allow this to happen?" And you said, "All things work together for good, and my wounds will work together for good, too,
yes,
and they will protect me," and they did protect you.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's get to the nurse who wanted to kill you.
Yeah. At one point in fighting, when the fighting ceased for a little while, I dragged my heavy sore leg to the outside of the hall of the air raid shelter, and there I saw a woman sitting on the floor weeping profusely. And as I came there, I saw that it was that very nurse that tried to kill me. I knew that God was sending me out there, and I prayed to God. I said, God, remove all my hostility, all my anger from my heart, and put your love into my heart so that I can witness to her. And he did that. It was hard for me, but he did that. And when I knelt down beside her, actually I sat beside her, put my arm around her as she was weeping on my shoulder. She, between sobs, she said she had been raped many times. I wept with her, believe me.
Okay, you're eventually here going to have to make a journey to Czechoslovakia to try to find your mother, but not quite yet. What happens next?
After the incidents with the nurse then, there was a short while where the Germans drove the Russians out of the city, and then all ambulatory patients were evacuated to another place that where there was no war yet. And one fine day, it was about the end of April, they said to me, Anita, your wounds are still draining, but we pulled out the tubes, the bandage is on it, we can't hold you anymore because we need your bed, you got to go home.
Is the war over?
No.
The war's not over
no,
yet?
No, it's not over yet.
Okay.
And I stood there that very morning, it was about the end of April, and I said, Lord, I have no crutch, I have no cane, I have nothing, hold me, guide me. Tell me what I must do. And I was not supposed to be walking normal for a year, and yet I walked within a week. And I really had to lean on the Lord. And he sent me on a very long and a very treacherous journey. And it said, you know, one time that I read that safety is not the absence of danger, but the presence of God. And I could testify to that because I went on a really, really difficult journey. But it took several weeks to get to the end of that journey, and I found myself in a train going to Theresienstadt.
Where your mother was.
Where my mother was. And on that train, a young man put his hand on my shoulder, and he said to me something, and I figured it was Czech. And I was warned, even though I had a passport and everything, I was warned that the Czechs hate anybody that's German, and my blonde hair. And he looked at me kind of with sharp, angry eyes. And then he said, Niemetzen means German, but not a complimentary term. So out of my pocket, my pant pocket, I pulled out my passport and also my birth certificate and showed him that I'm of a Jewish heritage. And then his eyes filled with tears. He hugged me and he said, I am a Jew too. I was incarcerated for a long time. I lost my entire family. I'm going back to Prague, which is close to Theresienstadt. I will help you on the rest of the journey. And he did that. And we went through Prague. He talked for me. He walked with me. Then we went on another train and finally came to Leitmeritz, and it wasn't too far from Theresienstadt. And there he said goodbye, and he handed me over to a Czech police officer, gave us each some money, and it was just like he disappeared into nowhere. So another angel
another
in
angel.
My life. And it was a short time later that we got to my mother's camp, and the gates were locked tight because of the typhoid epidemic they had there. But this escort of mine, he pleaded with them to open it, and they opened it. And I got in and finally went to the office where I would find out if my mother had survived.
Did Anita Dittman's mother survive after all this turmoil to be reunited with her? After all the turmoil of concentration camps, work camps, all the horrible things that had gone on, and the miracles, of course, and that's the important thing, is how God provided through all of this ordeal in the book, Trapped in Hitler's Hell. Again, new book, new film, coming back to conclude the story. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial.
In Nazi Germany, belief in the lies of Darwinism, racism, and the love of nation above God led to the eventual loss of all liberty and the mass destruction of life.
Under Adolf Hitler's tyranny, 6 million Jews and millions of other so-called undesirables were exterminated, including Christians who opposed Hitler's worldview and practices.
The crimes of Nazism were so huge. But the point to be made is this, that there were certain cultural streams in Germany that allowed the Holocaust to take place.
For example, in Nazi Germany, Hitler forbid school prayers, banned Christmas carols and nativity plays, and actually changed the date of Christmas to December 21st, the date of the winter solstice. All the while, most of the church kept silent. In the United States, prayer in public schools has been banned since the 1960s. The Ten Commandments have been stripped from courthouses, and the celebration of Christmas exchanged in some schools for a commemoration of the winter solstice.
When a nation forgets God, I think we are building our own gallows.
When we see the striking parallels between Nazi Germany and even modern America, we see those and we think, my goodness, what can we do?
What America really needs is a spiritual revolution. Our real issue has to do with the issues of the gospel and the transformation.
Again, Olive Tree Ministries carries the book Trapped in Hitler's Hell. A young Jewish girl discovers the Messiah's faithfulness in the midst of the Holocaust. Both book and 75-minute documentary. Visit our store at olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint. Give us a call or get on our print newsletter list for the full information.
Just a quick reminder, this edition of Understanding the Times, as well as past or future editions, can be found on the World Wide Web. Visit us at olivetreeviews.org. You can also order your own CD copy of any program by calling 763-559-4444. As we mentioned earlier, the book and DVD documentary, Trapped in Hitler's Hell, are awaiting your selection online at olivetreeviews.org or by calling that same number, 763-559-4444. You can also order the Anita Dittman story by mail. Just tell us which product you're ordering, the book and or the video. Our mailing address, Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Stay tuned. In just 60 seconds, the Anita Dittman story will continue.
For 30 years, Olive Tree Ministries has been influencing the church to become more aware of current events as they relate to the Bible. Our radio program is heard every week in over 650 markets across America, and we are thankful for how God has used this ministry to help listeners with discernment and to sharpen their Christian worldview. If you have benefited from Understanding the Times Radio, will you consider a tax-deductible gift before the end of this year? For any contribution, we will send you one of two books we are offering from Apologist Dr. Ron Rhodes, What Happens After Life, 21 Amazing Revelations About Heaven and Hell, or The End Times in Chronological Order. Please indicate which book you would like as you make your contribution. For those of you who would like both books, we will send them to you for a tax-deductible gift of $50 or more. You can call 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. Our mailing address is Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Thank you for helping us bring the inconvenient truth to America. And remember, you can always give online at olivetreeviews.org.
Courageous Christianity begins with knowing the truth of the Word of God, allowing it to change your life. Understanding the Times Radio is a no-nonsense weekly program that tells the truth without compromise and without apology.
When Hitler came to take over, Germany was in the same crisis. Losses of jobs, job situation. It's such a similarity. And so when he came, he was a great savior, you see. And the people ate it all up. But he has this hatred against the Jewish people. And this is kind of starting again in America.
Just a brief reminder, if you would like to stay in the know about Understanding Our Times, you can receive a weekly podcast of this broadcast. Simply go to our website. You'll find us at olivetreeviews.org. Here again is Jan Markell and Anita Dittman.
And welcome back. And as we've been talking for the entire hour with Anita Dittman, some sort of exciting news because WorldNet Daily picked up this book about a year ago. Well, they're updating the book, making a documentary of the story, and you've only heard part of it. A good deal, but not all, from Anita Dittman. This hour, we're going to wrap it up. And then, in the closing few minutes, we're going to talk about some comparisons, Nazi Germany with America today. So we want to get there. But Anita, you get let into this camp. It had some skull and crossbones on it because there had been an epidemic there. Yeah. Did your mother survive? Tell us what happened.
Well, then when I found out that she had survived, I was given directions on how to get there because Theresienstadt was a huge, huge place. It was a small city, actually.
When you heard she survived, how did you feel?
Well, at first, when I went in there, the lady couldn't find her.
She couldn't find the records.
Any record of her in the survivor's box. And I just about thought I would die. I prepared myself for it, but you're never prepared. And it took about 10 minutes.
It took her a while to find it.
10 minutes before she came back out. And those were the longest 10 minutes I ever waited in my whole life, except when my son was born. She then told me she had survived and gave me the address. And she gave me directions on how to get there. And when I got there, I was just amazed. I mean, we were both stunned. We couldn't say a thing. We just wept bitterly, joyful crying because we had been separated for 18 months and 11 out of those 18 months, we hadn't heard a thing.
But she still knew you were going to come. Somehow.
What was interesting.
Somehow she knew.
That it was kind of an early afternoon when we got together again. And she said, you know, oddly enough, I could have had a ride back to Breslau, to our hometown, with some other friends. But I refused to go because I know you would be coming here.
Mm-hmm.
She said, if I would have gone, you would have missed me.
Mm.
And then they told me, the people that lived in the same room with her, they talked about the horrors of Theresienstadt. Yes. Theresienstadt was, you know, displayed as the model camp to the outside world, but it wasn't. It was horrible, and I've read a lot of books since. It was terrible.
I think the Russians got there just in time,
didn't they? Yeah. What happened, about 24 hours were left for the gas chambers to be completed. And just at that time, a Mr. Dunong from the Geneva Red Cross had come to visit the camp. When he found out that these shower rooms were not shower rooms, he left, took his Red Cross vehicle, and left and drove through terrible fighting between the Russians and the Germans and reached the Russian commander and pleaded with them to hurry up and save the people. And they did, just in the nick of time.
Yeah, but many perished.
Yeah, definitely. It was a horrible camp. It was so bad, I had no idea how bad it was.
Because you were in work camps. You weren't in the Theresienstadt Auschwitz-type camps.
No, this was called forced labor, actually. Mm-hmm. Or rather, slave labor.
You were involved in was slave labor.
Mm-hmm. But the Germans called it a concentration camp because they concentrated the people into one place and treated them like dirt.
And gassed many.
Yeah.
Okay, you have some real concerns because you're seeing some things in America that you saw back in Nazi Germany. You're seeing this new love of socialism here in America. You've got some concerns about health care, some lack of freedoms that you're seeing. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, I do. The socialized medicine, that didn't work too well. It worked in Germany, but it didn't, you know.
Well, it marginalized people.
Marginalized people. But what I see now, how the older people, we were told that, I think the cutoff date is 65 or 75. It used to be 75, the cutoff date.
For which, then or now?
No.
Well, it depends on what your problems are, but there are cutoff dates.
But you
dates.
Are no
yes.
longer
yes.
able, mm-hmm. and even the doctors are no longer able to choose the right
That's
thing
right.
for the patient.
That's right.
And many doctors are very, very disgusted, and many doctors even go to other jobs now. I see this. It's the same in Germany.
Same in Germany.
Because kill off the old folks first. And also, you see, when Hitler came to take over, Germany was in the same crisis. Losses of jobs, job situation. It's such a similarity. And so he, when he came, he was a great savior, you see. And the people ate it all up. But he has this hatred against the Jewish people. And this is kind of starting again in America.
Well, that's true. And at the same time, at least in the current crop of leaders, is this rather troubling affection for the Islamic world.
Oh, yes.
The Islamic world being favored over Israel.
Yes, definitely. And that really bothers me. It scares me.
Mm-hmm.
It really scares me. And unfortunately, there are even some churches that go along with it. And that was the case in Germany, too. The people, the churches, the ministers that adhered to the gospel and preached the true word, they went along with the Nazis. And I'm afraid that might be happening now, too.
Well, are you saying you're seeing some churches today that are going along with the efforts at socialism in America?
Yes, and also that are not very positive and friendly toward Israel.
To the Jews in Israel.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And I have heard, too, recently that Nazism in America and anti-Semitism is growing in America.
Absolutely. It's growing around the world. It's a major story of the last year.
I also noticed something when I first came to America and when my ministry progressed. I was able to speak to schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's very questionable. A few schools, maybe, Christian schools, but not regular schools. And I know there was an incident where I was receiving a message about a couple of years ago in the early summer vacation time that I had a message on my phone service. And the man said, I'm a liaison between the city and the high school. And a couple of young people have been begging me to call you to speak to them. And would you come in fall? And I said, yes, I'll come in fall. But I said, I left a message for him and I said, Christ is in my message. I just wanted you to know that. So then he called me back and he said, can't you live Christ out of it? I said, I can't, because he was the mainstay that I had. The fact that I'm alive is to God's credit.
You said that right after 9/11, there was some openness in the public schools.
Exactly.
You had more freedom right after 9/11.
Exactly. Yeah. I had more schools wanted me to speak to them, and the doors were really open. But that didn't last very long because we are now so safe. But really, we aren't.
You know, having written the book, Anita, one of the powerful scenes, and again, we did this book in the late 1970s, but one of the powerful scenes was the last scene of the book, and that is you young people who you were coming from Europe, the war was over. What year was it? It was 1946. You were on the top deck of the ship coming. You were going to see the Statue of Liberty, and all of you young people, you were on the top deck so you could be the first to spot it. Talk to us about it.
Well, it was a very foggy night, and we couldn't see very well, but except when we were close to the Statue of Liberty. It was so awesome because for 13 years, all of us on board ship had prayed for this to happen and almost given up. And it was just so overwhelming. That's why I sound very teary. I'm sorry, but I can't help it. It was just God's great miracle that all of us were still alive and could witness this and come to the land of freedom. It was a different land then.
Yes,
very,
it was.
Very, very different.
1946, yes.
Oh, yes, it was very different. And it grieves me very much. I've been here for 67 years, and society has changed. Politics has changed. Harry Truman was president when I came, and he had just taken over. And the previous government, the quota for us people to come over was closed, but Harry Truman opened it. And I have a great love for him.
Mm-hmm. When we started, Anita, on the late 70s, we had hoped this would become a film someday. Well, again, Olive Tree Ministries carries the book, which I wrote, Trapped in Hitler's Hell, A Young Jewish Girl Discovers The Messiah's Faithfulness in the Midst of the Holocaust, both book and 75-minute documentary. Visit our store at olivetreeviews.org, give us a call, or get on our print newsletter list for full information. If you'd like to better understand what Anita and I are talking about as it concerns some comparisons between Nazi Germany and America and other parts of the world today as well, you might be interested in my short DVD, When Government Becomes God, What History Teaches Us. Now, this is a good companion video to the Anita Dittmann 75-minute DVD, Trapped in Hitler's Hell. You can get them individually, or you can get a combo pack, the two DVDs for $22. Just call my office for clarification, or check out the current print newsletter or our website. Look for When Government Becomes God, or the documentary DVD, or the individual book, Trapped in Hitler's Hell, which is just $11. Anita's products are uplifting, and they make a great holiday gift. And Anita's story reminds us that God truly never leaves us or forsakes us. For over 30 years, her story has inspired millions to keep on keeping on, no matter what their Holocaust might be. Everyone is being challenged today. Everyone has their personal struggle, their own 9/11 in a sense. But we are under the shadow of his wings if we belong to God. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages.
Understanding the Times is now heard coast to coast every weekend. We bring you commentary and interviews with people who are defining our times in light of God's Word. Understanding the Times has become a voice of discernment for so many across the nation. We remind our listeners that no matter what happens, no matter how dark the times may become, God is still in control. Would you consider becoming our financial partner? Our monthly air costs have gone up. Every year, we need more people like you to help us keep understanding the times on your favorite station. Please prayerfully consider a monthly partnership. You can give securely online. Just log on to olivetreeviews.org. For any tax-deductible gift to Understanding the Times, we'll send you one of two books from author Ron Rhodes, What Happens After Life, 21 Amazing Revelations About Heaven and Hell, or The End Times in Chronological Order. As you give, please tell us which book you'd prefer. We'll send both titles to you for a gift of $50 or more. Only residents of the USA are eligible for this offer. Gifts to this ministry are accepted by phone. Just call 763-559-4444. You can support us by mail. Just write to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Again, thank you for helping us bring the inconvenient truth to America. Brings you the hope every weekend that reinforces the truth that God is in control. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.